Good all the time. That's why we should bless him all the time. If you have your Bible, I want you to read a very familiar verse of Scripture, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27, for just a few moments. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. I want to read something that I just wrote down under that. Something that takes us to the dark continent that is quickly becoming an actual springboard for the gospel to the world. And in out of Africa, there are coming ministries and ministers now that are being sent as missionaries to other nations. Of all the places, Africa is experiencing a great revival. There are also false teachings that are being perpetrated in Africa. Anywhere there's a hunger for knowledge, you will find the false teachers showing up. So missionaries that adhere to the truth of the Scripture, they pray not only that many more people will come to the Lord, but they pray against the cults and the deceivers that seize this hunger to come in. And through feigned words, the Bible said, deceive many. So you'll find deception in the midst of every move of God. The deceivers are going to come. Because they're people who are hungry to know. And they don't really know. They may have met Jesus, but they don't know much else. And they're ripe for the picking unless they get rooted and grounded in the truth according to the Scripture. So we see kind of the enemy trying to somehow stifle and stall and offset this real outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these last final closing days. I would say this to you, be very aware that there is a spirit of deception that is just absolutely permeating so many people in this last day. The Bible said many false prophets will go out into the land and they will deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will begin to wax cold. And that's the direct, distinct result of deception. Amen. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit is more has a job greater in your life than giving you a liver shiver on Sunday morning, a little inspiration. He's here to give you correct information. And when he, the Spirit, and beyond the power to exercise the charismata or the gifts of the Spirit, amen, is the power to know truth and to rightfully divide truth and discern the truth. Can you say amen? When he, here's a title given him that we need to embrace more now than ever. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You open your Bible, open your heart. The Holy Spirit, amen, wants to show you the truth according to the Word of God. And it's vital that we embrace him in that particular, peculiar ministry. Everybody's looking for the power to do exploits instead of the power to know truth. And that's why we misinterpret the context of many of the writings. In 1 John, it says, he that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. And we think that's in the context of God having the greater power, and that is true. But the context of that is not about who has the power, but who knows the truth. Because the armor is so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. That's not about a power conflict. Satan said, you know, when they went out and cast out devils, Jesus said, you know, it's not really a power issue. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. God's got the power. Satan is the one that was cast down. There was no big argument. There was a war in the sense of he stood up and God smacked him down. That's about it. That was the end of it. It wasn't a prolonged war in heaven. They went out and were casting out devils in Jesus' name. And he said, hey, that's no big deal that through my name you have authority over devils. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. God has defeated him. You in my name, you are exercising an authority over one whom God has already defeated and divested of power over you if you're trusting in Christ. That's why he said, behold, I give you power over all of the power of the devil. But we need to embrace the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And the Bible said that the spirit of Antichrist is already come, and everyone that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh, in other words, that he was God incarnate and that he was the Messiah. Every spirit that doesn't confess that central, fundamental, foundational truth is Antichrist. Jesus said, there's no middle ground in this. You're for me or you're against me. You gather with me or you scatter. There's no middle ground. And he said that you have an unction. Here we have all of this deception. And he said, but you have an unction. Everybody say unction. One young lady got filled with the Holy Spirit. She said, I got an unction for my gumption so I can function. I like that. Amen. Praise God. This is not what that word means in the Greek. It means we have a special anointing. And unction in that context, that sense, means special anointing. Everybody say a special anointing. It's peculiar to God's people. It's an anointing to know truth. It begins with the revelation of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. But it doesn't stop with the revelation of Jesus. It continues the revelation of the truth in the Word of God and what is true. And we need that today. Oh, how we need that today. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. If you continue in my word, what happens? Do you just build faith to get stuff? No, you will know the truth. And if you continue, this is no. If you continue, if you don't just go with your feelings or what's popular or what the crowd's doing or what someone is saying who is popular, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. Why? Because if you open the word and open your heart, the spirit of truth will guide you. In fact, he said in 1 John, though he set teachers in the church, you don't need, in the sense of having to have a man, disseminate all that truth to you. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you're able to discern. You're able to tell the difference when that deception comes and the lies come. Because greater is he, the spirit of truth, that is in you than the deceiver that is in the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Open that Bible and open your heart and quit following people. We're to follow the Lord. Knowing the truth begins with knowing Christ, and then knowing that the Bible is true. And there's the Bible said that we're to rightfully divide it. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Why does it say rightfully dividing? Because it can be wrongfully divided. People can use this book and read from the book, but they have an ulterior motive. They want to deceive. Did you know Satan quotes scripture? Jesus is in the wilderness being tempted, and he's hungered. The Bible said he didn't go through this without feeling and sensing what it was to go this long without food. And he was hungered. And guess who shows up? The enemy. Guess what he tells him? Hey, man, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and fill your belly. And he said, it is written. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. Thank God he used something that we can use. It's part of our armor. It's called the sword of the Spirit, and it's the word of God, and it cut him. Can you say amen? Three times he tempted him, and three times Jesus used scripture to defeat him. So when the truth is rightfully divided, you have a mighty weapon called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Can you say amen? It's a truth that will set us free. Glory to God. And it's a truth that will keep us safe from deception. Because it's everywhere. It's in the pulpit. Whole denominations have been deceived. And they're making decisions to go against what is clearly written, clearly delineated in the Word of God. Isn't that an incredible thing? And God says, woe to them that call evil good and call good evil. And that's happening not just in the world, the secular world. That's happening in the church today. If you stand up for what the Bible says is sin and call it sin too, They're going to call you evil for doing that. You'll never sit on Oprah's program. And you will never stand in some pulpits, or you will never sit in some churches. God hasn't changed. He's not going to change to accommodate the culture. And friend of mine, I love you today, but he ain't going to change to accommodate you and me either. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do that. So we need to let no man deceive you by any means, neither the fornicator, idolater, the effeminate, nor the abuser of themselves with mankind hath any part. Let no man tell you different. I don't care if they got a pope as a title, if they've got an apostle as a title. I don't care if it's a denominational conclave that's come to this decision by vote. The very fact that people voting on what parts of the Bible they will continue to preach and teach shows you that the apostasy is not coming. It is already here. It has arrived, and we're in the middle of it right now. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed. Can you say, man, the falling away is not coming. The fall of the way, falling away is here right now. And it is not evidenced in any country more. This is the incredible thing. It is not evidenced in any country more than America. Amen. The church in America is more apostate than any nation. So go ahead and preach a gospel that doesn't say, that gives a false security. And to know that people are buying into that gospel and that gospel is being preached, the Bible said many will say to me in that day, this is Jesus. This is not the head of somebody's convention denomination. This is what Christ said. And by the way, you're not going to answer to me. You're not going to answer to them. We're going to all answer to Him. To Him. To Him. There's a lot of people have an empty profession. When you draw your last breath, there's no second chances. When you draw your last breath, there's no time, place of repentance. When you draw your last breath, it's done. Your spirit leaves. It's done. The day of repentance, the space for repentance is over. Now is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. And the Bible said if you're serious about your faith, if you believe there's a real heaven, there's a real hell, there's a real eternity, that we're going to live in one of two places. There's no in between. Make your calling and your election sure. Let a man examine himself. Come on, don't take anybody's word for it. And don't let any man deceive you. This thing got so serious, Paul said if you get a letter from somebody saying something different than what we brought to you by the Spirit, let him be accursed. If an angel bring you another message, let him be accursed. And by the way, he said, if we change and we compromise and we do not continue in the truth, even if you get another letter from me and it doesn't line up, don't even listen to me anymore. He was seriously committed to keeping God's people out of deception. Can you say amen? For many deceivers have went out into the land. The Bible said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, the original that was delivered, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and literal doctrines of devils. But by the way, these doctrines of devils do not come with horns and pitchforks. No marvel if Satan himself be transformed as what? An angel of light, and his ministers as what? Ministers of righteousness. That's the deception. And see, we don't just need the gift of discerning of spirits. We need discernment. Discernment. Where we can have a knowing on the inside, that unction from the Holy One. Sometimes I have to go to the Bible to check it out, but I get a red flag. I don't know if anybody knows. It's not literal that I see. There's just, I'm hearing something, it sounds so good, so smooth, so right, and I'm sitting there uncomfortable saying, Lord, why do I feel this way? Why do I have this sense that something ain't right here? I don't want to feel this way. I want to be in agreement. I want to put my faith in agreement. I want to stand in agreement. I believe in the unity of the brethren, but not at the cost of the faith. That's treason. Some walls need to be torn down, and thank God I meet with pastors from all kind of denominations, Messianic Jews and Baptists and Babdecostals and Pentecostals and Church of Christ and Church of God and Church of God in Christ. Can you say amen? I meet with a whole lot of different preachers, and most of them embrace the truth, and those are the ones that I can stand with regardless of their denominational tag. I can't agree with everything. They can't agree with everything, but we agree about the most important thing, and that is that Jesus and Him crucified, He is the true and living God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. No man can come to the Father except by Him. And sin, defined by the Bible, is still sin to the Christian and to the church, regardless of how the world goes. Regardless of how many people capitulate, truth is still truth, and only the truth will set you free. Amen. All right. Having established that, that wasn't where we were going necessarily, but I'm glad we went there for a little while this morning. You have an unction, not just for your gumption. You have a special anointing to know truth. I was amazed when we ministered in Haiti. How many people came to Christ that had never heard about Jesus? Amen. You talk about an area we went to where there was no radio, there was no television, there's no newspaper, there's no running water, there's no electricity, as I said. It's way out. Not in Port-au-Prince, and there's not much of that in Port-au-Prince. But when you get out in Pion, which is 8 hours, not because it's that far, but because it's that hard to get back in there without any good roads and going through riverbeds. We could only hold the meeting when we were out of the rainy season because the streams and rivers that we had to cross in a truck got too high to cross in a truck. And so we had to choose a season where we could actually drive through rivers that were still running very slowly in low gear with a big old truck with us in it. Praise God. Amen. But we got through it. And when we did, we found people that had lived in that darkness of ignorance and for so long. And the one thing they did know is they knew about voodoo. They knew the power of the voodoo practitioners among them. But they knew nothing about the power of God or the power of Christ. And to preach the simple gospel to them and watch those scales fall from their eyes and watch them without trying to indoctrinate them or educate them into the Western ways and religion of our nation, to watch them come to Jesus and get it. It's incredible. How can you take all these years of darkness and just like that, like a light bulb going on? When I interceded for my son when he was involved in drugs so heavy, playing with a band and going back to the motel room and then doing drugs, when he got away from God, he really ran from God. Ran from us, ran from God, ran from church. And I remember interceding for him, and I remember his testimony, how he got delivered from drugs. And he said, I went back to the motel room after we had played. They had already begun to drink and do drugs. The rest of the band were already high. And I was late getting there for some reason, so I walked in. And he said, when I walked into the room, my normal thing was just join them in whatever they were having and whatever they were doing. He said, but when I walked in, Dad, he said, it's like a light bulb came on. Light bulb came on? A light bulb came on? Yeah, a light bulb came on. God opened his eyes to see something that he was so deceived by that he thought it was fun. He said it was the middle of the summer. They hadn't even turned the air conditioner on. They'd already did the drugs. They didn't realize. He said it was 90 degrees in that motel room. And they were sitting there in that heat. And he said somebody had made coffee the coffee pot was on the fridge. Somebody had made it with one of those old teapots to pour hot water for instant coffee. And he said the stove was still on. They were too high to turn off the stove. So you're in a room with no air conditioning in the summer, and the stove is on. And they're all too out of it to even care. And he said it's like a light came on. Just like that. Said, Dad, it's just like that. I said, what am I? This is not me. This is not where I'm supposed to be. This is not what I want out of my life. A light came on. A light came on. Well, who turned that light on? There's what Jesus did it. He's the light of the world, praise God. And the Bible said the light has shined in the darkness. The darkness don't get it, don't comprehend it. But when that light shines, it shines so bright. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They that sat in darkness, prophetic, amen, in ancient Israel, they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, listen. God is at work. The Spirit of truth is here. And He is leading and He is guiding and He is bringing a people from a people. And a church is going to come out of an ecclesiastical establishment and organization. A spiritual body is going to emerge. Amen. And she is a bride. Amen. That God is getting ready to be united to the bridegroom. Praise God. Hallelujah. And He loves the church. The true church. Christ loves it. And cleansed it with the washing of water by the word. By the word. That He might present it unto Himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy. Every time we're exposed to the word of God. A cleansing is occurring. In fact, Jesus said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. I love to come away from a service where I've been challenged in anything. You know what David said? Search me, Lord. I'm not going to close my heart to those things that's hard on my flesh. I'm going to open my heart. I have been deceived. I went into sin. I hurt other people. I hurt myself. I hurt your reputation. Lord, search me and see if there's any unclean way in me. Why? Because He knew I don't want to be deceived. I want to be free. That word is what? Even way back there, before the Holy Ghost was given, the word itself, that word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It illuminates. Hallelujah. And the prince of darkness is out of business where the light is shining. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now you're clean. Through the word that I have spoken unto you. He loved the church and cleansed it. Sanctified. Sanctify. Oh, what a word that you don't hear in church groups anymore. Sanctify. Amen. The Bible said the Lord God sanctify you. Holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. The whole of you, the all of you, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church. He cleansed it with the washing of water by the word. By the word. Don't follow ministries that tell you what you want to hear. Follow ministries that tell you exactly what God said. Amen. It may be tough on your flesh. God is cleansing you. Having, brethren, these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Here's something else you won't hear, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Right. Amen. To sanctify means to cleanse first. And then, now that you're clean, you've been set apart. Amen. Cleanse and set apart for a holy purpose. What is the holy purpose? That He might fill you with His Spirit. That He might not just flow to you, but through you. Hallelujah. Now you're clean. If you receive the word. If you receive it. Create in me. The desire has to be there. Create in me a clean heart. Psalm 51. Renew in me a right spirit. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Hallelujah. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Some of you had an encounter with God when you wanted to stay clean. You felt His presence near you all the time. But when you begin to compromise, you lost that sense of cleanness. And when you lost that sense of cleanness in your heart and you didn't cry out for it, you just begin to accommodate the darkness, accommodate this compromise, accommodate the sin. You didn't feel close to God anymore. You felt it difficult to enter into worship anymore. You ever notice how that is? So a dead giveaway is you can't worship with everybody else. You go through the motions, but you can't enter in. You can't lose yourself in Christ. So this is not to hurt you. This is to help you. If you be risen with Christ, if you've been born again, born from above, if you've truly gotten saved. Seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, not the things of the earth. Can you say amen? Set your affection on things above, because if you don't set it on things above, you're going to find yourself loving the things of this earth more than you love God. Amen. And if any man love the world, we're not talking about the beauty of the earth. This guy's going, and I'm going to go in his trunk. I'm going to hide in his trunk, and he's going to go out there to get his suitcase out, and I'm going to be there and say, surprise! Where are you going on vacation? You hadn't made up your mind yet. The leaves are somewhere in the Appalachians. Yeah, somewhere in the mountains, the Appalachian mountains, where the leaves are turning all these fall colors, and there's frost on the pumpkin and frost on his pumpkin head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When he gets out of the car and walks around, he wants that chill to be in the air, not the humidity. It just doesn't seem seasonal. So he's going to take a vacation around Thanksgiving-ish time. So anyway, we were going to invite him over for turkey, but now there's more for me. Anyway, the Lord is good. I don't know where I was going from there, but I'm sure the Lord will bring it back. Must be Mike's day to shine. Hallelujah. Set your affection. If any man love the world, if any man love the world, and we're not talking about the good things that God gives you. He gives you all things richly to what? Enjoy. I tell you, God gave me a motorcycle like his. I'd enjoy that bad boy. Yeah, when things really got, pressurized around the house and all the things that go on in my family, not my wife, she's good to me and helps me, but I'm talking about all the other stuff, I'd say, you know something, I feel led of the Lord to go ride my motorcycle. Put my earphones on, put praise music on. Where you going, Brother Venable? Don't matter. I'm not going near traffic. I'm going to hunt me some back roads away from the traffic. Away from the telephone. I'm gonna get on my motorcycle. I don't need to go. I don't need it to be 1,000 cc. Amen. I just need to do 50. Amen. Just give me a motorcycle that'll do 50, and get me out on back roads and just let me go. Oh, the world is beautiful. I rode a motorcycle after all of these years of a Kawasaki, a big old Kawasaki. It was a 650, but it was big for me because I had to do like this. I had to get my ballerina. I needed those shoes. I had to tiptoe to hold it up because I was short back then. Anyway, I remember riding through the Tennessee hills, the foothills, down below Lookout Mountain. Oh, my goodness, these hills and these hillsides and being out there in the crisp air while riding a motorcycle in Tennessee near Chattanooga. Wow, that was great. This is the world. It's beautiful. God made the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has made for man. He made this place beautiful so we can enjoy it. In fact, he said he gives you all things richly to enjoy. So when we're talking about loving the world, we're not talking about not enjoying what he gives us. He gave you a great car. He doesn't want you to say, oh, I'm having too much fun. God's going to slap me down. He wants you to enjoy. He takes pleasure. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. It begins with your spirit. But it doesn't stop with your spirit. He likes to see you and I do well. He likes to bless us. It's good advertisement for his kingdom. And he's got a few people that the blessing of God is obvious upon them. I'm not talking about comparing bank accounts and automobiles. I'm talking about the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So whatever you have, you enjoy to the fullest. In the prosperity of his servants. That's why Paul knew that about God. That's why in his greeting he said, I wish above all things that you be in good health and that you prosper as your soul prospers. That keeps it in spiritual perspective, because the Bible said, do not love the world. This system that Satan has influence over, and through his influence, a degree of control over. This system that governs this, the Bible said, the whole world. See, when we use the world like that, it's not the earth. The earth is made wonderful. But the world, the system that this world operates under. You've heard of the world of sports. The world of boxing. The world of fashion. He's talking about a sphere of influence that Satan controls. The Bible said that you're of God, little children, and the whole world, everybody that doesn't know Christ, the whole world lies in wickedness. Literally in the Greek it reads, the whole world lies in the influence of the evil one. He is the prevailing influence in this world. That's why the spirit that is now at work, started in the first century church, is working overtime in our generation. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It is not anti-religion. Satan loves all of the ways to God that doesn't truly lead to God. He would rather have a false religious system in operation than to have no religious system in operation. Atheism has failed in Soviet Russia, in China. It has failed. Amen. You know why it failed? It created a spiritual vacuum, and when people heard the gospel, they gladly embraced it. He wants to fill the spiritual vacuum with something that isn't true, that doesn't truly lead to salvation. One of the New York Seller best, 10 best books for months was a book about a lady who had this out-of-body experience, near-death experience, and she saw light. And she said, it was Jesus. Now, you got to be careful. That's why you need the Spirit of Truth. Well, she had an experience. You've got the Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you something about experiences. Experiences are a dime a dozen. But the Bible is the word of God, and heaven and earth will pass. Yet, but my word will abide forevermore. Embraced by the light or whatever it was, everybody wanted to know what's going to happen when I die. And she said, I met Jesus. I went to this light. I had this peaceful, warm feeling. And I went to this light, and it was Jesus on top of everything else. It was Jesus. And guess what? This Jesus she met told her. All world religions are of God. All, regardless of the one you pick, all the roads. This is the Jesus she saw. This is what was the bestseller, influencing tens of thousands of people in America. All roads. Oh, what? Isn't that wonderful? Just pick, take your pick. They all lead to the same place. You know what the Christ of the Bible said? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Every man that tries to climb up some other way is the same as a thief and a robber. You know what the Christian church declared in the first century? Amen. There is no other name given unto men under heaven by which we must be saved, save the name of Jesus Christ. No wonder the devil is the spirit of anti-Christ, not anti-false religion, anti-Christ, because this is the Savior. This is the saving name. This is the powerful name. This is the name that triumphs over death, hell, and the grave, and demons. I love the talk show when a Christian gets on a talk show, a Christian leader, and doesn't cop out. And doesn't become a chameleon. In church, we're talking about God. On the talk show, we compromise. We kind of water it down for the audience out there, because we want the whole world to embrace us. Honey, he said, if they persecuted me, newsflash, they're going to persecute you for following me. All those, without exception, all those that would live godly shall suffer persecution. But when they cast your name out as evil and tell all manner of lies about you, defining how a lot of that persecution is going to come because of the truth, for righteousness' sake, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You've been identified with me. You've been identified with me in my kingdom. Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But you're not of the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And one of these days you're going to thank God, amen, that you are not of the world when he comes to take up his jewels. There's an Old Testament scripture said God's people spoke to one another. They were talking about the fact that, you know how it is down here. Sometimes evil men prosper and righteous men are persecuted. There's an inequity here in this fallen world till Christ comes to set it right. But he said, when I come to take up my jewels, because there's a day coming when he's coming to claim his inheritance. And guess what his inheritance is? It's the church. The ones that he bought and purchased with his own blood. This is his reward for Calvary. Can you say, man, is a wonderful bride, sanctified and set apart unto him. When I come to take up my jewels, then you will know what you don't know now. And what you think may not be occurring, that God doth make a difference between the righteous and the wicked. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. God does distinguish the righteous from the wicked. And it's not just who has the most money, who seems to be doing the best. It's who is in his kingdom. Can you say, man? Listen to me carefully. I don't want to be deceived into thinking that I can have it both ways. I want someone to tell me if I can't love him without hating evil. Can you say, man? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you reverence God, you got to love what he loves and hate what he hates. And you've got to hate it when you find it in yourself, in your flesh. Enough to do something about it. Let God's word clean you. Wow. God is so good today. So this lady that said she was embraced by the light met this Jesus who told her a bald-faced lie, unbiblical and unscriptural. She bought it and sold it by the millions of books to tens of thousands of eager people who want to know what's going to happen. Oh, death is nothing. Don't matter what I am. I'm all going to end up. Even Christian Protestant preachers today are embracing universalism. You know what universalism is? Jesus died for the whole world. The whole world's going to end up saved. I don't know who in the world Jesus was talking about when he showed John the great white throne judgment. Who are these people by the tens of thousands that are cast into the lake of fire? Where did they come from? How did they get there? You know what Paul said? Here's something preachers need to know. We get PhDs in everything but the fear of the Lord. We're good at the Bible, but we don't know. We don't embrace the truths with passion and compassion. The Apostle Paul was motivated by more than personal ambition to have a big church, which is driving most ministries right now, to be honest with you. It's more than just being known as a great apostle. He said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. Can you imagine, without the blood of Jesus, having to stand before a holy God that we have sinned against, and not only have we broken all of his laws, we have trodden underfoot the offer of salvation if they perished under Moses' law. who sinned of how much sore punishment. Suppose ye that they shall be worthy who have trodden underfoot the blood of the everlasting covenant. When you hear the gospel and you say, I'd rather have my sin than Jesus, who wants to forgive me? He shed his blood to save you, and you're saying, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And to stand before God in that condition, to stand before God and your eternal soul is now going to be damned forever, knowing the what? What they don't know, they clearly don't know, because they won't preach the whole truth. Professionals. One of the great apologists, as we get ready to close, and I haven't opened this other message because it wasn't the message, obviously, for today. One of the great apologists, like it might have been Ravi Zacharias, or one of those who stand up and defend the faith to atheists and scientists and college professors who do not believe. Also a Bible professor in a prestigious Bible college. He said, what is troublesome to me is that this graduating class of clergy that are going to go out and send their resumes with doctor's degrees in theology to become pastors of churches in America, they come to me after getting this degree, after earning this degree, they come to me and they ask me inevitably the same question, so many of them. The great majority of them. If you were me, where would you put your resume in? What parts of the country have the best benefits for their clergy? Which cities pay their pastors the best? Have the most benefits? That's a professional. That's coming out of a theological seminary like a lawyer out of a law school or a doctor. Listen, you want to be a country doctor and barely make it? That help a whole lot of people that nobody else wants to help? Or do you want to be part of a big city group of doctors and retire at 50, a millionaire? Let me see. It depends on why you want to be a doctor. Amen? It all depends on why you went into medicine. Did you go in it to help people, or did you just go in it to pad your pocket? There are some of them in it, I believe, but they're hard to find. If you find one, you've got a jewel, amen, that cares about people, amen. But listen to me. Most people are in it, and they're preachers the same way, that don't, knowing the terror of the Lord. Can I be dispassionate on Sunday morning? Can I soothe you when you should be confronted with your sin so you can get it forgiven, so you can be kept in these last final closing days? Can you say amen? Don't let a man deceive you, because they're all over the place. Let no man deceive you by any means. Why? Because you'll answer to God, not to him, not to his organization. And the criteria by which he's going to judge is his word. I don't mean you can keep it to the letter, but you can come to Christ. When you find yourself in sin, and when the word exposes a sin, you can go before God and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Take that blood and take the hyssop and dip it in the blood and apply it to me. Wash me with hyssop. I shall be clean. I shall be clean. I shall be clean. There are spirits that Jesus simply dealt with as an unclean spirit. Every sin came out of that polluted, perverted spiritual relationship with this kingdom of darkness. So, she says there's all these ways to God. All these ways. They all lead to God. And it sounds to the carnal ear, well, that sounds good. We got this loving God. There's another message. I got to bring it another time. You will never, ever appreciate grace until you understand wrath. You know what the Bible said about this loving God? He's also holy. And the Bible said his wrath abides on everyone that haven't been reconciled to him through the blood of Christ, without exception. Well, they teach over here, they never talk about that. Doesn't change it, because they don't talk about it. God is God. His word is true. He loves you too much to let you alone. Some people come here and they feel uneasy. You don't have to feel uneasy. If you're unsaved, you could get saved. If there's sin, you could get, repent of it and have it cleansed. You don't have to go, oh, brother, when I come there. One lady gave us a great compliment. I've known her for years. She's not in the Lord now, and I don't know when she's ever going to make a commitment to be in the Lord. If she was here, I'd say the same thing. She knows I would. That's why she's not here. Anyway, you know what she said in complimentary to this church? I know the truth is preached there. I know Brother Venable is a man of God. And I know he'll say what the Bible says on Sunday morning. But every time I go to his church, I'm convicted. You mean you come in here and you get convicted of sin? Is that comfortable? No. Is it God's love trying to reach you? To bring you to a place of safety and security where the devil can't hurt you, harm you, deceive you, or destroy you? Absolutely. Thank God for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. God has called me to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Got to delineate real quick. Condemnation. Now, therefore, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit, because a change occurs when you come to Christ and not after the flesh. Can you say, man, you got to quote the whole scripture, not just that first part of it. Can you? Who walk after the Spirit, who do not push back against God when he's pulling us. Can you say, man? Condemnation is the devil pointing his finger at you. Condemnation is your conscience pointing the finger at you. Conviction is God pointing his finger at you and saying, come to me and be cleansed. Come to me and let me seal you. Let me sanctify you. Let me seal you. Let me get you so ready for heaven that there's nothing in this world that is more important to you than having me in your heart and me in your life. Come to me. Amen. Conviction will bring you to Christ so he can embrace you, so he can keep you. Can you say, man? Condemnation will just put you down and tell you you're not even worthy of saving. Amen. None of us are worthy of salvation, but he died that he might save every last man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet. He's such a good and gracious God today. So when the Bible says he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world, I want you to think truth. 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 We're editing the Bible. Whole denominations are editing the Bible to accommodate the culture. And they're voting. They are voting in their national yearly meetings whether or not to adhere to what the scriptures say. The first thing, before we even see how the vote turns out, the fact that man has set himself into a position to judge God and to say, God, this isn't fair. This doesn't fit. It's a love without justice. It's a love without judgment. It's a love without correction, a love without chastisement. It's a love that's supposed to cancel and cover sin without the blood of Christ being applied. See, Jesus had to do more than shed his blood. We have to apply it by faith when we come to Christ as our Savior and confess our sins. Jesus, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. What happened at the Passover? They're to kill a lamb. It's not done. Angel isn't going to not come with judgment because a lamb has been slain. They have to take and catch the blood in a basin. They have to take hyssop, which was a plant. They couldn't go to the hardware and get a brush. They had to take hyssop and they dipped the hyssop in it. They went to the doorpost and they put it on both sides. Amen. They were told, you have to apply. Come on. You can't shed the blood, but you have to apply the blood. The blood that has been shed has to be applied by faith. And when the blood was applied, the angel said, when I see the blood applied, it had to be applied. Then I'm going to pass over you. Can you say amen? And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus has shed enough blood for every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet to apply it. And not be lost. It's not his will that any perish, but all have eternal life. He's made the provision. But you have to choose Christ over Satan. Christ over sin. You can't be sinless, but you cannot be dominated and domineered by the devil. Jesus can really lead you and love you and keep you. Amen. You have to choose him. And I always tell young people, I'm glad we got some young people in here. I can do my young people thing right here. We had a youth pastor that couldn't, you know, he was just learning English, and he said, tonight we're going to have a youth service. The youths are coming tonight. So I want to talk to the youths. I'm always asked, will I have to give up my crazy friends if I come to Christ? Because peer pressure, we want to be accepted. No, honey, you really start following Jesus, they'll give you up. Oh, yes, they will. Yeah, they'll say, you know, she ain't like she used to be. She ain't fun no more. We'll find us somebody else to hang with. Well, you hang with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, when you go to sleep with peace in your heart. They can't do that. They can't do it. They're looking for Molly. That's the new drug of choice among the young people today. They're looking for something else. Amen. But listen, when Jesus gives you peace and Jesus gives you joy and Jesus gives you life and you don't have to worry. Amen. If you don't wake up here, you're going to wake up there. There's nothing like that in all of the world. Nothing more important. You say, easy for you to say, you're an old guy. You're not tempted to sin anymore. Oh, come on. Give me a break. Oh, my eyes still see. My flesh still needs crucified. Amen? Say, Brother Rimble, what is your weaknesses? None of your beeswax. But I want you to know I got them like anybody else. But I wouldn't trade Jesus. I wouldn't trade truth. Amen. Listen, whether this church grows or not, or whether my pastor friends think I'm successful or not, you know why I'm successful? I'm where God sent me this Sunday morning, telling you what God said in his word. And I feel a well done, good and faithful servant when I get home. And right now, Brother Taylor, it's so good to be free of caring about what other people think. I want to please my master. I want to serve my king. If he wants the word to go on radio, he'll open the door, and he did. If he wants it to go out by website to nations, he'll open the door, and he did. Can you say amen? If he wants somebody to come and hear it, he'll send them, and they'll hear it, praise God. But I am not got a personal ambition to promote myself, but I do have a burning desire that God's people understand that there is a truth that will set you free and keep you from the evil one and keep you on the King's highway. Hallelujah. Woo! And he's come. He's here. He's in me. He's in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You take this word and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, and you put them together. By theirself, this is just written stuff. But you put them together. You take nitro and glycerin. By theirself, it's not very dangerous, is it? But you put nitro and glycerin together. Ooh, look out. Amen. If this bottle of anointing oil was full of nitroglycerin, it is so explosive. It is so powerful. If I did like that, it'd blow me and you to smithereens. Amen. Nitro and glycerin. Put them together. Put them together. You handle it. Listen, we got to listen. This is power. This is power to serve God. Power to overcome the enemy. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the devil. It's not just some kind of innate supernatural stuff within us that is to dominate him with. It is the power to know, the power to discern, the power to recognize deceit when we see it. It don't matter how many people have out-of-body experiences and tell us about different Jesuses and what they saw. What we know is what we're to stand on. Amen? Well, I didn't get to read anything that I wanted to read yet. Next week, to be continued. Yeah, get it. Open the Bible. Open your heart. And let God. Yeah, home. I'm giving homework. There he is. You should be proud. Give me five. My hates to give it because then he got a grade all in papers. He said, Lord have mercy. Homework is bad. It's not just them that get it right. Teacher gets it too. Yeah. I'm so glad to know what I know. Man came to our church in closing. A man came to our church. And he wanted to talk to me after church. And I talk to a lot of people sometimes. And I find out within the first 5 minutes where they're coming from. Don't take long. Find out where they're coming from. He dressed like a preacher. Had a Bible like a preacher. Looked like a preacher. Talked like a preacher. Walked like a preacher. Yep, it looks like a duck. Quack like a duck. Waddles like a duck. Has a bill like a duck. One can only assume. But you don't know about this stuff until they open their mouth. Even if an angel of light appear to you. Not necessarily. No marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. And his ministers as what? What do they appear to be? Ministers of righteousness. But if any man confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh, he's Antichrist. Amen. Regardless of his religious credentials. Amen? Amen. No if, and, but, or maybe. There's a truth that has to be adhered to. The virgin birth is a cardinal truth in Scripture. That means that Jesus isn't the Messiah if it isn't true. Because the prophecy of him was, I'm going to give you a sign and this is it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. It was an immaculate conception. He was virgin born. This man came and said, he was not virgin born. God has sent me to teach the churches they're in error. And I'm looking at him already. You know, you ever see P.D. on the Little Rascals when that eye rolls? Some of you old enough to remember the Little Rascals, old P.D.'s eye just rolled. My eyes must have been rolling round and round. I said, no, sir. He said, see, that's what I'm telling you. That's what we've got to conquer. I've got a revelation and God has sent me. I said, whoa, wait. Wait a minute. You're saying that he wasn't virgin born? I said, you understand the gravity of what you're saying and how it pertains to the faith? I know exactly, but this is what God showed me and told me to go tell it. I said, sir, you are deceived. Oh, and then you talk about getting your back up. Oh, boy, he went, oh, man. And then, because then my back came up. Because you in my house want to talk to my church. Mine, not mine possessively, but, you know, I'm a bell sheep and I'm responsible. And if I'm going to be responsible, you're going to have to pass it through me. I'm sorry. You say, brother, but I know somebody that's so spiritual. Well, that's what you know. I don't base my doings on what you think, what you know, or what God showed you. Do you understand what I'm telling you this morning? It's not that God can't talk to you, but I'm the pastor. He's going to have to talk to me, not just talk to me through you. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amens. It'll help you in the future dealing with me if you'll get this down in your spirit this morning. But God showed me, Lord, wait. That's fine. Let's go to the Bible. Let's just go to the Bible. Let's get in the Word. Because a lot of people said God showed them a lot of things. It was unbiblical and untrue. So I said, now wait a minute. I got you telling me that Jesus Christ is not virgin born. He said, and I said, I got Isaiah saying, behold, this shall be a sign unto you, a virgin shall conceive. Before we even get to the New Testament, I said, so I'm just going to stop with Isaiah right here. I got Isaiah or you. Remember what I told you about they'll leave you? He left me. He headed for the door. I went with Isaiah. He ain't staying. He's headed for the door because I won't believe that God showed him something that was biblically untrue. Amen. That would hurt the faith and hurt the people. So he's walking out the door. And guess what he does in his anger at me and angst at me for not letting him do his thing? He turned around at the door. When he opened it, he turned around, looked back at me, and he didn't cuss me or anything. You know what he did? He didn't call fire out of heaven. He just spoke in other tongues. He spoke this beautiful tongue. Isn't that incredible? So some people, if you speak it in tongues, you got to know the truth. You got to be theologically sound. No, you don't. No, you do not. No, you do not. So I decided to go with Isaiah that time. I go with Jesus this time. I go with the Bible that time. Can you say, man, I just keep going with the Bible, with Jesus, with the prophets. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's where the faith comes from. Amen. Praise God. With Christ himself. Amen. It's all built on the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. One converted Indian said, I know, amen, I know that God loves the Indian people because his name is Chief Cornerstone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's a mighty God today. Hallelujah. He loves you today. And these are the last closing days. We're in the last of the last days. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith. Now that some has grew into a multitude. If you believe the Bible to be true, Christ claims to be accurate, you're in the lower 20% of the church world in America. If you believe we should live by the Bible because God doesn't change, you're in the 20%, not the 80%. You're in a ever-shrinking minority. But you are in the church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? There's a church. There's a remnant. And when judgments fell in the land, you know what the prophet said? Except there was left unto us a very small remnant. We had become as Sodom and Gomorrah, completely annihilated and removed. But because of a remnant, God has restored Israel. Because of that, oh yes. Remember the cave of discouragement that Elijah found himself in, threatened by all those prophets of Baal. Even when he saw God answer by fire on Carmel, when he got a letter from Jezebel that she was going to kill him, he went into a cave. And when God came to get him out of the cave, you know most of the story. It's so important to know what he told him. He told him, come out. What are you doing in here? Come out. You know why he said he wasn't coming out? Oh, by the way, everybody else is coming out. It's time Christians come out. Can you say amen? Everybody comes out and the world gets an applause unless you're a Christian. And you come out and say, I'm a dedicated servant of Jesus Christ. Boy, the silence is loud, isn't it? Sports star come out and say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I make no apologies about it. He's my Lord and my Savior. That's the world. That's why the Bible said, don't love it. Know the things that are in it. For the love of the Father is not in you. If you do, don't hang your church tag out there while loving the world and call yourself a follower of God or of Christ. Listen carefully. It's so important. It's so important. These are the last of the last days, the closing hours, and the apostasy is here. Except there had been left to us a very small remnant, we had become as Sodom, and we had become as Gomorrah. But there's a remnant church. If we're in the lower 20% of a shrinking percentage that still believe the truth about God, about Christ, and about the Word of God, it's that remnant that is holding back the final judgment right now. We're the remnant. We are in the kingdom for such a time as this, Sister Dale. That's what we're doing right here, right now, this morning. We're part of that righteous remnant. And until he that let is taken out of the way, Satan would hatch his plan right now to bring the Antichrist forward. I believe he's alive. I believe, this say I and not the Lord, but I believe the Antichrist is being groomed for what Satan's going to use him for right now. And I believe the world at large is being conditioned for him to step on the stage. 25 years ago, when the nuclear situation was so volatile, one of the representatives of one of the nations at the United Nations, the UN, stood up and said, "We need a man that can bring reason to this insanity. We're going to kill everybody, kill ourselves if we get in a nuclear exchange. We need a man. Nothing about God. We need a man that can bring reason to all of this insanity and war and threat of war. We need a man to step on the scene and bring reason where there's nothing but insanity. And whether he be angel or devil, we care not." What a prophetic statement. Because the devil is grooming that man. And he's already conditioning the world for that man. If a man can promise peace and prosperity, people will follow that man right here and right now. Look at election time. People will vote money over morals in every election in America. If the Church of Jesus would act like it, it would change the politics in America. It's either Christians voting wrong or Christians not involved at all. But there's enough Christians here in name that if we were Christians in real reality, it would change the complexion of this nation politically. But we don't have that right now in America. We've got a sleeping giant called the church. Wake up. Wake up. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Can you say, man? Will you stand to your feet? Let's get ready. I believe that we are in the most prophetically relevant time that the church has ever been in all the history of the church. You have to make a decision about who you're going to follow. And I'm not talking about following people per se, but what you're going to follow. What influences you're going to permit in your life. Whether you're going to be manipulated and merchandised by men or led by God's Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you, if you decide to be led by God's Spirit, first thing he's going to do is bring us to a place in the Word where we go through a cleansing. Cleansing. He loved the church and cleansed it by the washing of water, by the Word. That he might present it unto himself a glorious church. Hallelujah. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be qualified to marry this groom. Holy. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Somebody said the greatest thing that God can do is take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make him holy. And put him right back in that unholy world as a witness and testimony and keep him holy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a God we serve. How many's got room for God to work in your heart and your life? How many want to prepare a very special place for truth? Amen. For truth in your life and your mind. Transforming truth that will set you free. These are the days of Elijah. This is a restoring in the Church of Jesus Christ in readiness for the soon coming of Jesus. I love this song that was originally a prophecy put to music. Hallelujah. These. How many will agree these are the days of Elijah?